The phrase in chapter 7 and verse 11 that I want you to zero in on is how much more. How much more? How much more? That phrase is used in the Bible 20 times to compare something of a lesser plane to something of a greater plane or something of a greater importance. How much more? For example, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, talking about the Gentiles being grafted in, how much more shall these which be the natural branches, that's the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? So in other words, the Jews are the natural branches, and if God loves to save Gentiles, how much more He loves to save Jews? Amen. And so the Bible compares the recipients of salvation, and God wants every person to be saved, every soul to be saved, and He wants your soul to be saved. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as Savior, there's nothing else of importance to you tonight than to receive Christ as your Savior. Don't leave here without receiving Him as your Savior. And how much more concerning the recipients of salvation? Then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13, go over there with me. Hebrews 9:13. This is all by way of introduction. We see this phrase, how much more, again. It says in Hebrews 9:13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. If that's what they get done in the Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirits offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so the Bible compares the cleansing agents of the two covenants, the Old Testament and the New Testament. If the blood of bulls and goats purified the folks in the Old Testament, how much more can the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse us today? Wonderful comparison. How much more? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, we see another example of this phrase, how much more? Where Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says in chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge the angels? Now that's future tense. How much more the things that pertain to this life? So the Bible compares how the Christians judge. We'll judge in the future. Yes, we will. But how much more, by comparison, should we judge in this life? Should we make choices and right choices in this life? Again, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 24, Luke 12, 24. Where Christ says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. And here's the phrase, how much more are ye better than the fowls? How much more are ye better than the fowls? Skip down to verse 28. We're talking about the fowls and the animal kingdom. And now in 12:28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, here it is, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here, the Bible comparison of God's provision for His creation and His children. In verse 24, it relates to food. In verse 28, it relates to clothing. But if he provides for his creation, the animals and the plant kingdom, how much more will he provide for us? How much more can we count on him to take care of us? What is your need tonight? What do you need for him to provide? You are favored of God so that God does take care of the animals and God does take care of nature and God will take care of you and me. That's a wonderful truth. Now, let's get back to our text in Matthew 7 and verse 11. The Bible is full of these comparisons from the lesser to the greater. And we want to see another of these comparisons and dwell on this comparison tonight. It says, if you parents, and it's talking, when it says you being evil, it's talking about our fallen nature, we're degenerate. We know that we have a bend toward evil in the Adamic nature. If you as parents like to give nice things to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father enjoy giving gifts to His children who ask Him? Now, God loves to answer our prayers and give to us gifts. In James chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, it still says that the only two reasons that we are still without is that we haven't asked or that we have asked amiss. That means that only for what we want, not within the will of the Lord. And so we know that a certain request might not be in the will of the Lord, so the Lord doesn't answer that request. But we have praying ground. We have access to our Heavenly Father who loves to give us gifts. Most of the time, God will meet our needs. And why is that true? It's true because God wants to answer His children who call to Him in prayer. Boy, if I could just get that to you. God wants to answer our prayers. God is not doing His best to withhold things from us. God is not holding back. God is not saying, okay, pray. I'm not going to answer, but you go ahead and pray. That's not our God. Our God wants to get it to us like we like to delight in giving to our children. When Chris was 8 years old, we were in a store like Walmart when all of a sudden Chris comes up to me shouting under his breath, Dad, Dad, like that. He said, you got to come here. You got to see this. And all the time we're walking back here and I'm following him. I don't know where we're going. He says, you won't believe this, Dad. What's back here? And he had found a sales price on a basketball backboard. Now, if you know Chris, he likes to play basketball. He always did. And so he said, and look, Dad, it's only $29.95. Boy, oh boy, what do you think, Dad? Can we get it? Now, there's never a time that I want to say no to my kids. I want to give my kids what they want. I can't always say yes. And sometimes yes is not the best answer for them. Sometimes it's good for kids to go without. Hello? That's true. That's true. But even if I say no, in my heart, I love my kids, so I want to say yes. You understand? That's the heart that God has. If we give to our children, how much more does God want to give to us? That's the lesson here. We are His children. God loves us more than we love our own children. And therefore, God wants to answer our requests, our prayers, what we ask. Unless, of course, we don't have the confidence to even utter it in prayer. Unless we're trying to do it in the energy of the flesh, our own figuring out of everything, and we leave God out of the equation, then He doesn't get the privilege of us talking to Him. I think God wants us to talk to Him. He puts us sometimes in positions where the only way to look is up. And that's to get us to talk to Him. The Bible's full of examples of where God wants to answer our prayers. Therefore, this evening, I want to look with you at some examples to prove that the Lord wants to answer our prayers, and that's the message tonight. It's a challenge. I don't know what you're going to face this week, and I don't know what I'm going to face, but I want us to be charged up that when it happens, our first thought, not our second or third or last thought, is to take it to the Lord in prayer because the Heavenly Father's waiting to meet our needs. All right, number one. And of course, God will answer your prayer for salvation first. After that, He wants to answer your request in prayer. Number one, go with me to Isaiah chapter 45. God invites us to ask Him for what we need. He invites us to ask Him for what we need. In Isaiah 45 and verse 11. All the time tonight, I want you to be thinking about what you need. I want you to be thinking about your life and what the need is in your life, in your family. Maybe it's finance, maybe it's health, maybe it's something else, family, some family needs, something. What is it that you need? We need to take these things to the Lord in prayer. God invites us to ask Him for what we need. Isaiah 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Notice that the wording there is strange. Command ye me. God wants us to ask because God wants to supply our needs and answer our prayers. I used to get a kick out of seeing the look in Chris's eye when I gave him something that he asked for. When Gene Ingalls and I went up to see Chris when he went to college, I think Gene will remember this. The first year that Chris was in college, we took Chris off campus for an hour and a half so that he could get to a store to get some things that he needed. He needed some boots. He was in the Northland of Wisconsin, and he needed gloves and a hat and map pencils. Don't ask me what the map pencils were for. I can figure out the rest, though. At the counter, he prepared to pay for all of it, and I took the lead, and I told him, I'll take care of all of that. And you should have seen the look on his face. It's still right there before me today that I met his need, and he was surprised. We didn't plan it that way. I told him he could go out and he could get what he needed, and I'd take him, but I met his need. Ooh, it's fun to meet your children's needs. In about 1985, someone gave me two tickets to Toledo University's football game, and so I thought it'd be fun. I took Heidi as my date. Now, Heidi then was probably about 9 years old, maybe 10, and she dressed all up. We have a picture of her all dressed up that night. And she and Dad went up to Toledo about 50 miles away, and I spent the whole evening with her and talked to her about football and about God and about boys and about football and God and boys. And I bought her a Toledo University hat. She liked hats. And we had some refreshments. You would have thought that I gave her $1 million. I love to do things for my kids. We build a memory, and still to this day, every now and then when we get together, Heidi, do you remember? Or she'll say, Dad, do you remember when we went on that date? Never forget. I love doing that. Wait a minute. God's not so different. God made us like Himself. God loves us so much that He invites us to ask Him for our needs. This word, this verse says, command ye me, which simply means to tell God what you need. Let Him know what you need. Charge it to His account. Make your prayer list. Now watch out. It does not mean that we have the right to start bossing God around. That's not what it's saying. That would not be verified anywhere else in Scripture. We have no right to be presumptuous and order God as a general would order a private. As a father, I won't respond if my children start bossing me, telling me, "Dad, I want that. Get that for me now." Now, that's not going to work. And it never did work, and it won't work today. But he does ask us to ask. He does ask us to come to him in prayer. I want to give to my children. How much more does God want to answer our prayers all this week when things come up? Take them to the Lord in prayer. How much more does God want to hear and answer our prayers? All right. Look at another example in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Jesus Christ is the evidence that God wants to answer our prayers. Jesus himself is the evidence. God is telling us that if he would give us his own son for us, that certainly he will give us anything else that we need. Suppose that someone said to me, "Pastor Starr, I want you to give me your son. Chris is my only son." I'd say, "But I love him. He's my only son." And let's just suppose that that person prevailed. I finally said, "Okay, you can have my son, but what do you plan to do with my son?" And they said, "Well, we plan to kill him." Now, even though I'd never, ever do such a thing, let's say that I did give Chris to him, and then the person says, "May I have his shoes?" I would have said, "My goodness, if I will give you my son, you can certainly have his shoes. I've given you that which is closest to me. You can have his shoes." What if he said then, "Well, would you give me his clothes? Give me his clothes. If I give you my son, you can have his clothes. I'm giving you that which is close to me. Of course you can have his clothes." And since, here's the line of argumentation in Romans 8:32. And since God has given us his son, we know that he desires to answer any of our prayers. He wants us to come to him. It says in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up," what? "For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God looks down and says, "I want to give you things and answer your prayers. And the proof that I do is at Calvary. My son had to go to Calvary in your behalf. If I'm willing to give my son, I'm willing to meet your needs too. How much more?" You see, if he's willing to give his son, his only son, isn't that proof enough that he wants you to stop what you're doing and take that request to him as it comes up this week? He wants you to stop and take it to him. Or maybe it's already come up. He needs you to stop. He wants you to stop and take it to him tonight. How much more will God give good things to them that ask him? Another thought. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. God loves for us to pray to him. He loves it. He is glorified by it. Revelation 5 and verse 8. In fact, here it says that our prayers are like perfume to him. 5:8 in Revelation. "And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And so our prayers come up to him as a sweet-smelling savor. It's something that's like perfume to him, and he loves it. Something else, in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah 7 and verse 18. Old Testament, don't be scared. Look at the front of the Bible, find where Micah is. Then look up 7:18. God loves to answer prayer for forgiveness. Prayer for forgiveness. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, how he hates it when we sin. How it grieves him when we backslide, when we become complacent, when we do the very thing that we know we shouldn't do. But oh, how he loves to hear us pray and say, Lord, forgive me for that. I know that wasn't right. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do that again. Keep my mind on you. Oh, he loves that. He looks down and says, oh, I'm so happy about that. That believer is asking for mercy and forgiveness. And I just love to do that, to extend forgiveness. I'm so pleased that he asked. That's what it means that he delights in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. Look at the next verse, Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Why does he have compassion on us, but he drowns our sins? He casts them into the depths of the sea. The sins drown, they sink to the bottom, but he delivers us. Why? Because he loves us. It's fathomless, I know, but he loves us that much. If one of my children comes to me and apologized, came to me and apologized, asked me to forgive them, I'm a cream puff. I melt right there. I love mended relationships. And I'd forgive them as I'm sure that you would. And so would God, your Heavenly Father, forgive you if you would ask for forgiveness. Don't ever forget that if you are willing to give your children good things, how much more is God willing to give good things to those that ask Him in prayer? Something else in 2 Chronicles 7. Turn there with me, 2 Chronicles 7. I'm trying to build a line of argumentation tonight that the next need that you have, whether you already have it tonight or it crops up this week, you know, life has a way of bringing those things up, that our first utterance should be to the Lord. Not to solve it in our own flesh, but to lean on the Lord right away because He's waiting for us. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God makes us a promise that we can't refuse. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Here God says, I gave you a promise. Now I'm going to be watching. My eyes are going to be glued on you when these situations come up. And I'm going to be listening to see if you ask me. Because I love it when you ask me. I want to answer. God says, I gave you a good offer. I think that you'll take it. I'll be watching and listening to see if you do. It's pitiful that we don't take him up on that more. I say it's pitiful. Isaiah 65. I just have two more to share with you. God is anxious to hear and answer our prayers. He's anxious in a good way. I'm not talking about a sinful way. He's anxious. He wants to do it. I want to show you this. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God gets so anxious to answer our prayers that sometimes when He knows what we're going to pray, when He looks over our shoulder at our prayer list and sees what's coming up next, He answers before we can ask. See if I can illustrate this to you. You do the same things that I do. I know my children. I know, for example, Marcia used to beg to be, really the word is nag, but I'll use the word beg to be read to. She wanted me to read to her. So sometimes before she would ask, I'd ask her, are you ready to read some books? And she'd brighten up, books, books. She loved to read books, still does love to read books. Heidi loved secretarial stuff, so she loved office stuff. She loved to read and write, and she loves papers and pens. I mean, she probably has 90% of all pens that were ever made. And I used to come home with a big stack of scratch paper and a couple of pens, and she thought it was Christmas. I brought them before she could ask. Chris enjoyed playing football. He used to say, Dad, can we play football? As he's twirling the football in his hand, I just came home from work. But sometimes, before he could ask, I'd get so anxious to be with him. Before he could ask, I'd say, and because I love him, I'd say, how about a game of football? Yeah. I would answer before he asked because I knew my children and I knew what they liked. And do you think that God knows us less than we know our children? No. God knows us better. And do you think that God loves us less than we love our children? No. No, God loves us more. And it's clear in the Scripture in Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. If we could just realize how much He loves us. If we could just realize how much He wants to meet our needs. How much He wants to answer our prayers. How much He is looking down from heaven on us with mercy and grace and wanting to meet our needs. If we could just realize that. Lastly, in Psalm 65, God's name is connected with answering prayer. His name is connected to answering prayer. In Psalm 65 and verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Here, David calls God by a new name. His name is thou that answerest, or thou that hearest prayer. He answers prayer. I want you to listen to me if you have a need tonight. If you're lonely tonight. If you're troubled tonight. If you're carrying a heavy burden tonight. If there's a doctor's appointment coming up tonight. If there's some other family, financial, or any other burden that you are bearing tonight. You listen to your children's needs. And you long to want to meet their needs because you love them. How much more, say that with me, how much more your God is willing to give you good things as your His child if you ask Him Why? Because He loves us. Your Heavenly Father is longing to have you ask Him for the things that you need. Have confidence enough to take time to ask Him. Go to the one who has the answer. Have confidence that He loves you, that He wants to answer your prayer. Have confidence that by asking, you are obeying Him to ask. Have confidence that if you ask, He will hear you, because He will. And have confidence that He wants to answer your request far more than you want to meet your children's needs. You love your children, you want to meet their needs. How much more God is waiting for those who ask Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed now.